Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shave, director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Our inner cities and Mission Field USA are groaning for the gospel. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 12th through 14th, we will present Stand Firm in the City, an urban ministry conference with great speakers and discussions. For information on Stand Firm in the City, call 260-452-2204 or check out ctsfw.edu/urban-ministry-conference-2015.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you want to know what a Lutheran is, you don't ask a Lutheran, okay? That's a really, really good rule of thumb because you're going to get a lot of different answers depending on the Lutheran you ask. In fact, if you just kind of split it up as a pie, most of the Lutherans you would ask that question would give you a lot of very, very wrong answers because most Lutherans in the United States, and we're talking about the majority of Lutherans, in the United States, have followed a brand of Lutheranism that really has its origins in the 20th century, not the 16th. And it's not a matter of antiquity. It's a matter of adherence to what was originally Lutheran in the Lutheran confessions. There is a difference between historical Lutheranism and 20th century Lutheranism. We're going to be talking about it here in the course of the next half hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Christopher Jackson joins us. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. Peter Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin. And he's author of a recent column for First Things Online titled Losing Luther. Christopher, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great to be here, Todd.
You make a distinction, or you recognize a distinction, between historical Lutheranism and 20th century Lutheranism. What is that distinction?
Yeah, and I'll admit that it's something of an arbitrary distinction since there were many faithful Lutheran theologians in the 20th century, and now in the 21st century there are also very many faithful Lutheran theologians. But in the 20th century we can trace a certain trajectory in Lutheran theology. And part of this was a renewed interest in the man of Luther himself. The early 1900s saw two important dates. First of all, the foundation of the Weimar Republic in Germany, and also the 400th anniversary of the Reformation. And these two things kind of came together to cause some renewed interest in Luther. For the Germans, at least, it was necessary for them to find some sort of uniting figures or uniting ideas. Since what had united them before the Weimar Republic was just simply the force of military rule and so on with various emperors. And so one of the things that kind of came up was Luther himself. And so this sparked a whole lot of interest in Luther, something we call the Luther Renaissance, in fact. And a lot of the great scholarship came forward out of this on the one hand. And on the other hand, there was also a renewed interest in expressing distinctively Lutheran theology in Germany, and as we know that also was a lot of interaction between German Lutheran theologians and American. And so a lot of these theologians, they wanted to express something distinctively Lutheran, vis-a-vis Roman Catholicism or the Reformed. But they didn't necessarily want to go the route of what we might say is old Lutheranism. They didn't want to go down the route of strict confessionalism, for example, that many of our forefathers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod did espouse, people like C.F.W. Walther. But also combined with that, they really adhered to what we oftentimes call higher criticism of the Bible. So a strict adherence to the Bible as inspired or, as we say, an errant word was not going to be a uniting principle for them either. And so what developed was an emphasis on the sinner's encounter with God. And certainly Luther provides much, very fertile ground for exploring that. And but what the 20th century Lutheran theologians tended to do was build entire theological systems out of that encounter with God as sinners and their experience of justification.
When we come back, we're going to explore a little bit more of the distinctions between historical Lutheranism and 20th century Lutheranism. We'll kind of get a little history lesson to begin with. I have to pause at this point and trying to say, what source did these 20th century Lutherans go back to, if not to historical Lutheranism? Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. Peter Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin. He has authored a recent column for First Things Online titled Losing Luther. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., our conversation with Pastor Jackson continues. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll be doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 50, where the prophet is concerned, or actually God is concerned through the prophet, with Israel's sin and a certain servant's obedience. We'll be talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy, in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We're making the distinction between historical Lutheranism and 20th century Lutheranism. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Lutheran. It's not a label, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled, All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about historical Lutheranism and 20th century Lutheranism on this Thursday afternoon, September the 10th. Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin, and author of a recent column for First Things Online titled Losing Luther. Okay, you brought us pretty much up to kind of the beginning of this foment here in the 20th century in the United States. So round off the story for us. If they didn't want to go back to the classic historic Lutheran sources to kind of carry out this distinctively Lutheran identity that they were seeking, what did the 20th century Lutherans by and large do here?
Right. So historically, Lutheranism is, as we find it in the Confessions, is dedicated above all to expounding the theology of the Scriptures, being conformed to the Scriptures in all that we preach, teach, and confess. A lot of this 20th century theology certainly would make use of the Scriptures, would make use of Luther as well, but really by way of exploring what we might say in certain circles, this existential problem or existential encounter with God. And so it really made use of a lot of sources, even outside of the Scriptures and the Confessions. It certainly made quite a good bit use of Søren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher, and the existential philosophy that he promoted, and as well made a lot of use of Kant and his philosophy as well. But here's the thing: there was always this effort to try to express this in language that was traditionally used by Luther or Lutheranism. So they would. express this in terms of law and gospel, or sinner and saint. They would discuss it as well in terms of the sense of fear that we get as we face our own mortality, but then the comfort that we get in the gospel. A sense of despair in contrast to a sense of faith that we get. So again, making use of themes that certainly do come into, for example, Luther's writings, Luther's theology, and even that we can see in the confessions, but you might say utilizing these in a way consistent with what we might call an existentialist philosophy.
Why is it that you cite a kind of now famous female pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and author as well, Nadia Bolz-Weber, as the end product of 20th century Lutheranism?
Yeah, first of all, it's because she is incredibly disciplined and consistent when it comes to her theology. We can certainly see many theological currents in what she says. She certainly makes use of certain elements of feminist theology, liberation theology, these sorts of things. But really what she uses to weave this all together is a consistent application of this 20th century, what I call in that article, the dialectical theology. So really making use of this sense of the fact that we have this sense of despair and how God uses that to arouse faith in us through his acceptance of us in his grace. So she's very disciplined in her use of this 20th century theology. She, in a sense, is very faithful to what we would call this 20th century Lutheranism. But also she's the end result of this 20th century Lutheranism as well, because really, with the trajectory and the course that that theological project set for itself, it would naturally come to result in someone who conducts her ministry and who speaks in the way that she does.
Now, not a lot of people saw this coming. A few did, and at the time, Gilbert Mylander, about 10 years ago, he more or less predicted this outcome and kind of evaluated it in advance. What did he have to say?
Yeah, so Gil Mylander, while he's always had a pulse on the ELCA, given that he is a professor at Valparaiso University, he saw this coming when few did, partly because of his commitments in terms of the kind of theologian that he is. He considers himself a moral theologian, or a theologian of ethics. And as he examined this dialectical approach to theology, this main thrust of Lutheranism in the 20th century, he understood that what he was doing really had no place in it. Reason being is that really the ethical or moral life under this theology is not a particularly theological topic. Really, God's law is there to bring us to this state of despair, so that having this state of despair, we might in turn accept his affirmation of us, or his acceptance of us in his grace. And if that's the only real, shall we say, use of the law, what many of us call the second use of the law in accordance with the Lutheran confessions, then the law is only of passing significance. God's law is only there to bring us to that state, and once it has, it ceases to lose any more of a function in the life of the Christian. I might even go on to add that even further than what Mylander stated about 10 years ago in his piece in the Dialogue, the theological journal, is that really any law will do if that's the case. We certainly don't need God's law to necessarily come to a point of despair. It could just simply be, I don't know, our state of rejection from others, perhaps. I don't know. But God's law certainly doesn't necessarily need to be the law that brings us to that place. But certainly, even if it is God's law that brings us to that place of despair and then, in turn, faith, there's really no place for the law having an ongoing function in the life of the Christian, something that gives guidance in leading a life of sanctification and holiness out of response to what God has done for us in giving us faith through his word of forgiveness.
Now, I mean, to return to that theme of existential angst for a little bit, I wonder whether or not by focusing on or by reinterpreting Lutheran terms and categories in terms of existentialism, essentially, this has, in the final analysis, this 20th century Lutheranism has mistaken existential angst, which everybody's got, right? Believers and unbelievers can are all capable of existential angst, right? They've
Absolutely.
Mistaken that
yeah.
for the work of the Holy Spirit through the law. So they say things, you know, like, well, everybody's all beat down by the law all the time. No, maybe they're just having existential angst and they haven't heard the law yet. They might be concerned about a lot of things, but concern, worry, and all those kinds of things do not add up to repentance. What are your thoughts?
I believe that's right. And that's really related to what I just mentioned a few minutes later, that If that's all the law is there to do, then certainly any law will do. It doesn't have to be God's law. His expectations of purity in heart and word and thought and deed. But really anything that brings us to that state can stand in that place. And so it certainly does not need to be God's law. It certainly can be really any number of things. But here's the thing, and I think this is an important point that Mylander makes, is that ultimately something is going to fill that place. If especially in the life of the Christian, the role that the law of God should play in guiding the sanctified life, if that's not there, something's going to come and take that place. He predicted that this would just simply be the currents of secular society and what secular society believes is good, right, and true. And I believe certainly in the case of Nadia Bolz Weber, that's exactly what we've seen. She may have been somewhat surprising or edgy back when she came out in 2008, I believe, but now her theology and her ministry is the sort of thing that brings her accolades and applause, and certainly the sanctified life that she indicates doesn't really look very much different than what the elites of American society would like us to believe any good life should look like.
We have often thought here, Pastor Jackson, that what made liberal Lutheranism liberal was merely a low view of the Bible. Is there more to liberal Lutheranism in the 20th century than just that?
I absolutely do believe that is the case. And certainly we don't want to lose sight of the fact that a low view of the Scriptures is part of that. It certainly is a part of the liberal side of Lutheranism and its slide into what they have espoused. But there's something more to that as well. And I do believe that it is in large part this emphasis on dialectical theology. If ultimately our concern is probing and examining what you described as existential angst, which is exactly the right term. This is this this worry or despair that existential philosophers like to explore themselves, and then the relief of that comes through simply the affirmation of God. We really come to a place where the individual and where the individual and the individual's understanding of what is good, right, and true reigns supreme. And again, we lose any sense of this idea that that the moral life, the sanctified life, is one that, while empowered by the Holy Spirit, is also guided by God's law. And so I do have to admit that this is something that keeps me up late at night. There's not many things that keep me up late at night, but that one is this, is that really and truly in the Missouri Synod, we are not immune to this problem ourselves. We have certain commitments, and I'm very glad for these commitments that we have that keep us from taking as deep of a dive or as quick of a slide as we've seen in, for example, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And namely, I'm talking here about our commitment to the Scriptures as inspired and inerrant and infallible. That certainly acts as a good check against these tendencies. But at the same time, these theological currents have been quite influential, even in the Missouri Synod and with our own pastors. And that's not to say that the dialectical approach by itself is even necessarily wrong when it is used in the correct way. Certainly, as sinners, we do come into the knowledge that we stand naked before God and His wrath and His righteousness, and this certainly leads to a sense of despair. And in turn, having that beautiful message of the gospel that we are saved through the atoning work of Christ brings faith and joy, and that's something to be embraced. But that's not the totality of the Christian faith, and that's not the totality of Lutheranism as we receive it in the Lutheran confessions, which certainly has much more to say as well about the Christian life.
With only about a minute here, Pastor Jackson, you've spoken at length here of how this dialectical approach to Lutheran theology has led inevitably to abandoning various uses of the law. I contend that eventually you lose all of them in the order of 3-1 and then finally 2. Can this dialectical approach of 20th century Lutheranism hope to retain in any sense the gospel? Has it retained the gospel?
If one is disciplined in adhering to it as it has come to us through that trajectory of 20th century philosophers that we mentioned, certainly not. I agree with you that, and as I said earlier, if the point is to bring us to this point of despair, really any law will do. It doesn't have to be God's law. And so, yes, we certainly lose all sense of the law at that point. And if that's the case, we also lose the gospel. Because if it's not God's righteousness and holiness that we have offended by disobedience to His will, then at the same time, it is not necessary for Christ to have come to allay or appease that wrath of God and to fulfill our righteousness as well. Certainly all that it would take is, on the other hand, just simply a change of mind of God towards us. And really, that's the route that this purely dialectical approach will eventually and finally take. And so without that fuller sense that we get of Lutheran theology that we get from the confessions, which are drawn straight from the Scriptures, certainly we do end up losing the gospel.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin. and author of a recent column for First Things Online titled Losing Luther. You'll find a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Christopher, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Folks, you'll find historic Lutheranism being taught and practiced at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. If you know a high school, a junior high, a senior there, encourage them to check out Bethany Lutheran College at blc.edu. blc.edu. They have small classes, attentive faculty, and confessionally Lutheran. Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. When we come back, it's Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah 50. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Organized Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Holowach of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.